In Matthew chapter 6, there's a passage that has been used so much by people when it comes to prosperity. And Jesus in verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Well, I've heard or read preachers who try to say that Jesus is not talking about money. He's specifically talking about worshiping a demon spirit that was called mammon and so on and so forth. And it's like, you know what? If you leave it in context, he's talking about what he's talking about money and what money can provide. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And so he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap." Now you know, it was hundreds and hundreds of years before that sowing and reaping prosperity doctrine came along. I don't think it's an accident that those terms were used way back when. I think that the Holy Spirit was moving on Jesus. Say it now and deal with it. And just let this word be out there, because in about 2,000 years, people are going to get weird about this. But he says, you know, look, the fowls, the birds, you know, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. Now, if you look, this is like the fourth time he said, take no thought. Don't sit around, think about it, worry about it. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, worry about, try to gain. For your heavenly Father knoweth what for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your Father knoweth you have need of all these things. Faith circles tell you, don't you ever confess your need, yet our Father's looking down saying, I know what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Meaning, whatever you have right now, these things will be added to you for increase in your life. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The other night, we were looking at this, or Gary made reference to this, and I'm just kind of scanning over this whole passage, and it was as the Holy Spirit began saying, you know, look at this, just look here, look what Jesus is talking about. Don't get all worked up, worried, concerned about, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. In other words, the absolute basic necessities of existence on this planet. He said Jesus is identifying the basic necessities of what you need. He's not talking about all the extra. He's talking about what you need. Now, when I was growing up, you know, as a teenager, we all remember how it was. We wanted to be cool, right? We wanted to be accepted. But when I was growing up, you were cool if you had Converse sneakers. But if you wanted to be super cool, you had Adidas. Because at that time, Nike didn't exist. And a lot of these other shoe companies didn't exist. But Adidas, you know, those three stripes on the side of the shoe. I mean, if you were walking down the hallways at school and you had those three stripes on the side of your shoes, man, you were really cool then. And the cool kind of jeans to wear were Levi's. that little orange tab on the back of the pocket, you know, Levi's. And I wanted to be cool. So I wanted, you know, Converse, yeah, I wanted Adidas. I wanted Adidas because that's cool. And not only that, but I wanted Levi's because I still remember when Mom finally bought me a pair of Levi's at Reich's Department Store on Dorothy Lane, and they were $8.95. I still remember that. Talk about making an impression. But $8.95 back then, that was expensive for a pair of jeans. Well, you know, most of the time, though, for us, my sister, my brother, and me, the jeans we had, they weren't Levi's. They were, you know, something else. The sneakers we had, they were not Adidas. And I can remember one time when Mom bought me a pair of Adidas wannabes. In other words, it was like a knockoff that she bought for me at Kmart. And it had three stripes. I mean, they weren't exactly the Adidas three stripes, but they were three stripes. And so I tried to act like I was cool like everybody else with my three-stripe shoes. But we always, always had jeans. We always had sneakers. And we always had socks. We always had shirts. We always had food on the table. In other words, my mom didn't work, dad worked, and we always had what we needed. It wasn't always the cool stuff. It wasn't always what we wanted, but we had it. And I was glad we did. You know, when Mom took us shopping, we would go to many times there was a store called Shopper's Fair. It was a discount place, and that's where we would shop and all that. And, you know, it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted the cool stuff. But I always had stuff. Always. And we did have toys that we played. And here's what I'm getting at. For us as believers, we are at a tremendous disadvantage in this world. And here's how. Day in and day out, 24/7, as long as we are awake in a day, we are inundated with the best. Constantly. The commercials on television, the best, the newest, the shiniest, the fastest. Dodge has come out with a new, I think it's a Challenger, that has like 720 horsepower. What are you going to do with 720 horsepower? You know, you can't go fast. Where in the world can you open it up? You know, you sure can't do 180 through Toronto. I don't care. You can't do that. It's bragging rights. That's all it is. And every day we're inundated through television, through newspaper advertisements, magazines. Everything is bombarding us all the time with the newest, the best. Think about the advertisements for cell phones. You know, every time you see the new cell phone, it's like, oh, wow. You know, I want one of them there. I want one of those cell phones. I want one of those. Why? Well, because. Look at that commercial. Who wouldn't want one? We're at a constant disadvantage because our brains are constantly being bombarded with got to have the best, got to have the best, got to have the best. And Jesus is, nowhere in here is he saying you can never have the best. What he's saying is, don't sit around and think about this stuff all the time. Don't sit around and want it all the time. You know, who doesn't like the smell of a new car? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's whenever you get in a new car, that smell is like, oh, man. If somebody could invent a spray that smelled exactly like brand new car, you know, nobody'd be buying new cars. They just spray the stuff in. And that is probably why nobody has invented new car smell. It may look bad, but it smells new. Praise God. Jesus never said you couldn't have the Adidas or the Levi's or whatever's popular for every generation. He never said you couldn't. What he said was, don't sit around and lust for these things. Don't let the want for these things consume your mind. He's saying, look, like the Apostle Paul said, learn to be content with what you have. I'm not, as your Father God, I'm not telling you, you can never have the nice stuff. What I'm saying is, learn to be content with food on the table. Learn to be content with the fact that you do have a pair of jeans. Learn to be content that you do have a pair of sneakers. Someday maybe you can have the whatever's the most expensive right now. Someday maybe you can have a Cadillac or whatever to you would be the really nice car. Someday maybe you can have those things. But don't, like he says here, take no thought for those things. Learn to rejoice in the fact that your needs are met. Learn to rejoice with the fact that I do have more than one shirt in my closet. That I do have, you know, plenty of clean underwear. That I do have some socks. This is not a poor mouth mentality. This is a restructuring of our approach toward what we have. That's all it is. And when we give money, see, when you get to the place of the not taking thought, when you get to the place, it's like, well, I'm glad for what I have. You know, someday it'd be nice to have the bigger car or the whatever, and someday it'd be nice to fly first class to all these different places where God would send us to minister. Someday, you know, yeah, those things would be nice, but, you know, praise God for what I have. Praise God for this. When you get to that point, you know what happens? You stop worrying about what you don't have. And you learn that your Father loves you and you can trust Him. Yeah, but it seems like, you know, He waits till the last minute to get that money into my hands. Well, last minute to who? To you or to Him? See, when He comes through at the last minute, as far as He's concerned, the bill is still paid. So what if you only had 20 seconds left before foreclosure? The bill is still paid. From His perspective in heaven, He sees everything that it's okay. We're the ones that take thought. When it comes to offerings, if we're taking thought about a lot of stuff, it hinders our ability to hear our Father and what we're supposed to give in an offering. See, God is never going to take the food off your table and put that money in an offering. He's never going to make your kids go hungry just so you can sow the seed. No, He doesn't. That is our Father, and He loves us. And the more we know His love is, the more we're going to know that we can trust Him in every situation. And this morning, we're getting ready to receive an offering. You kind of figured that out. We need to ask ourselves, am I taking thought about stuff? Am I worrying about stuff? Am I caving in to the pressure from my children about stuff? How am I approaching what I have? God never said I couldn't have the nice. He just said, take no thought. Take no thought. This morning, if the Lord has impressed upon you to give a certain amount, ask Him again. Father, I want to be sure I'm hearing you clearly. Is that the amount you want me to give? I want to know for sure. And He'll let you know. If you're not sure, if you don't feel like you're hearing Him, well, what would you purpose in your heart? Well, bless God, I purpose in my heart I'd like to give $1,000. Well, do you have $1,000? No, but I'm going to write a faith check. And I'm going to believe that by the time that check hits the bank, the money will be in the account. That is called illegal. You may want to give $1,000, but right now maybe you could only give $10, not $10,000. You understand what I'm saying? In the kingdom of God, guys, there's no pressure when it comes to giving. The pressure only comes from preachers who don't understand this. So this morning, what has the Lord told you to give, or what would you purpose in your heart?